Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining me on the podcast today. Today's guest, we had Tim Bradstreet, owner of Best Body Supplements, who have multiple stores in the Newcastle area. Great chat to Tim today. We covered all things health. So anyone who's in the health space, whether it be supplements, you're looking at your training or just mindset around that, you're going to get something out of today's episode. Enjoy.
Thanks for joining us on the Brendan Osborne podcast.
Another thing that I really wanted to just go through with you is business. I know, especially we're somewhat on seeming like we're on the back end of like COVID restrictions from a national standpoint anyway. Business wise, starting to open up new states as well. How do you find the COVID coming in eventually? How do you react to it? We'll start there.
It was different. Hey, so we actually saw a rush as soon as it started, like it started to be put out on the news. People panic buying, just like with everything. And we prepared for the worst. So we were like, geez, like we're not going to get any customers. And then there was about a week period where it was slower, but literally from that point, it was just insane.
Yep.
I think lockdown showed a lot of people how much they take for granted their just general fitness, their training, and their health. And that gave them time to reflect and not being able to go to gyms especially, actually made them want to train more. It's like you get told you know, I can't do something, you want to do it more. So we actually picked up a lot of new customers. Obviously, we lost a fair few of our regulars. Like a lot of people did fall off the bandwagon, but we did gain a lot of new customers.
Yep.
And as restrictions started to lessen, they all come back tenfold.
Yep.
And we had all this new customer base. So I almost feel a little bit bad saying it sometimes, but we've come out of COVID unbelievable.
Yeah. But you also made some conscious adjustments too in how you're creating content, how you're marketing in terms of delivery. Do you mind just mapping out a couple of those changes that you made as well?
We spent so much more time on our social media and just giving the information just straight back to the consumer. Our bricks and mortar stores like do really well because of how honest we are and how straight up we are with our customers. So we tried to bring that to our social media and also the rest of our marketing. So all the information was out there and it really boosted our online, which is just a win-win. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we made a lot of changes in store. I mean, we never fully got shut down and obviously we did the appropriate measures so we could still keep our doors open. So, and look, we tried to restrict and get people to buy online, but we found a lot of people just wanted to get out of the house a lot of the time. So obviously we had the restrictions with only a certain amount of people in store at time, hand sanitizer there, they weren't allowed to touch products.
Yep.
But for the marketing point of view, it's a massive change in our social media, just being real, being funny as well, taking, you know, a bit of humor to the truth of things, whether it be supplement information or whatever it might be.
Yep.
But yeah, it helped us heaps.
Yeah, so out of those things in terms of small adjustments or the marketing or just changing your approach to it, what do you feel like was the most impactful thing in the last several months?
Just spending more time on advertising.
Yeah.
Like massively.
Yeah.
Being consistent, making sure that we're putting out stuff for people to see, but also then being real.
Yep.
Everyone can just post, like you'll see so much on all supplement stores, it's just a store.
Yep.
They post things, it's not personal. It's just something that they get a photo and they'll, you'll see things get put up. It'll just be a photo and information on product. I mean, really cool. But, you know, if you then plug yourself into it, people know your face and then you give them a review that's personal based on your own experience.
Yep.
Oh, it's crazy the difference it makes.
Yeah. So it really, it's a tough ask to be a behind the scenes business person if that's your main goal. Like
100%.
Your clientele knowing who you are has made a massive impact.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's especially with Best Body. I mean, that's the whole way I've ran the business from the start.
Yep. And how did you get into the supplement industry initially?
It's a weird one. Hey. So I used to water ski professionally and towards the end, I had to get out of the industry from an accident, unfortunately, and I went into personal training. And as much as I loved it, like I wanted
to. What was the accident? Sorry to interrupt.
I was a professional water skier. Yep. To give a quick summary, and I blew out my knee when I first originally got onto the pro circuit. It was my first pro year. I was only young. I was coming out of a good few achievements. I'd represented Australia a good few times, and just coming off the back of winning a world titles and It was my first pro season. I was only 19 years old, and just before the start of that pro season, I blew my knee out in training.
Yep.
Before that time, that's literally all I did.
Yep.
Like, it was my whole life. And then after that, obviously I wanted to get back in my water skiing, but I thought, if I can do something that can help people prevent injury, that can help people rehabilitate the injuries in athletes, like, that's what I want to do. So I ended up going into personal training quite heavily. And I just found, like, the early mornings and late nights, and it wasn't working with athletes at the start of my personal training career. I just found that not really wanted to do. Like, I loved helping people.
Yep.
And helping athletes, they're people that are driven to, you know, want to improve and get better, so they want to be there. And I was just, don't get me wrong, I was loving my personal training, but the early mornings and late nights just turned me away after a while. So I wanted to sink my teeth into something a bit more substantial.
Yep.
And at the time, I was working for another supplement store, because I always had a passion for supplements and nutrition. And I ended up working there a couple of days, because the personal training hours, you know, you've got a good gap during the middle of the day where a lot of people don't want to train. And I made mates with a few suppliers. And when I was telling them I want to be doing something else, or something I can fill the rest of my days with, he said, there was the guy, so the previous owner, Best Body, talked to him only about a week before, and he said he was thinking about getting out. So literally that next day, I sent him a message and said, mate, I heard you're wanting to sell your business. Would you be available for me to come and have a chat? And then it literally just went from there.
Yep.
And it wasn't at first. I loved working in supplements, and as soon as I went and had a chat with him, it showed me that's exactly what I wanted to do. Because supplementation, and, you know, supplementation being something that can either help with your processes, which is your diet or your training, but also then make them happen faster. If you can have something that can make the process of what you're wanting to do happen faster, it becomes addictive. And that's where I found my love for supplementation, in finding that, whether it's from my sport before for water skiing, because I've always been quite up to date with it all.
Yep.
When I went in and so I started working in a supplement store. But from that point, from talking with it, just went from there.
And when you went from doing that first year as a pro athlete in the skiing, and then obviously the injury, how hard was that transition for you in terms of when you knew that you weren't going to go back to that?
Honestly, it's only been something I've blocked it out
for
ages. And it's still, like, a lot of my mates that I know today don't even know I've done it.
Yeah.
It's something that did hit me really heavily. And I've only been really good about talking about it in the last year or two. Because I was only so young, and I was, you know, at the top of the ranks at such a young age, and it's all I'd ever known. When something like that just gets ripped from underneath you, it's really hard to accept. Mm-hmm. And for so long, I tried to come back, and it just took a while of me overcoming and just realizing that I wasn't going to be able to do it anymore. But it's not something that I regretted, because in the meantime, it sat me on the path of brought me to where I am today.
Mm-hmm.
And, the acceptance has been for me that, you know, I wouldn't have what I have today, and I wouldn't be in the industry that I am if I hadn't have hurt myself.
Yeah.
Still would have been water skiing.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So after you spoke to the last owner of the business, you had the conversation, were like, obviously come to some sort of agreement that you wanted to go.
Yep.
Then what did you do from there?
So again, from working in supplementation, I loved helping people, and I loved giving that information. So after talking with him and figuring out, look, this is really what I want to do, he actually got into supplements from the same reason that, you know, the reason I wanted to work in supplements is because he opened the stores based on the fact he'd gone into stores before and just been sold so much more than he needed. And he's like, you know, I want to create an environment where, you know, people can come and get honest information, leave with the products they need for a reasonable price, hence best product for your body, best body supplements. So after we had a good chat, and he realized he wanted out, and it wasn't for any bad reason. He was getting older, he had kids, and he couldn't put the time into it, because, like, honestly, owning a supplement store, especially in its youngest age, is just a lot of work. It's just a lot of time.
Yep.
It's a lot of time you've got to invest yourself into it. So we just ran through it, and it actually took nearly a full year for the turnaround to happen. I worked in the store for quite some time, but yeah, it was from that point, and it took quite some time for the store to turn around. And once it all did, it was just game on.
I find it quite odd that the industry went in that direction with the hard sell.
Yeah.
Because I don't even feel like it actually needed to. Like, if you think about the type of clientele coming in, they're in some sort of pain point or they're looking to achieve something. If you just took the time to go through that process and find them, like you have multiple solutions, they're already mentally committed to knowing that they're going to make a purchase if you're walking into a store. But on the same, I remember supplement store, I'm thinking first experiences with more corporatized supplement stores. Yep, yep. I walked into maybe, we're talking maybe 2009.
Okay, yeah.
And that same experience of getting that hard sell and then just straight up lies. Yep. Like they were talking to me about ingredients on certain things that just weren't true. And me having a bit of background in it knew that it wasn't true. And then it was just a simple walk out of the store. And then for me, that experience pretty much led me to pretty much just shopping online from there.
Yeah. And the thing that I changed straight away when I moved in, it's not so much I wasn't doing it wrong before, and it was a really bad almost business move for me to start with, is because of these experiences, I wanted to create a transparent, honest environment where people could come in and get quality information. Because if you're not getting that from coming into a supplement store, then why don't you just shop online?
Mm.
So I wanted to create relationships. I wanted to create a trusted environment. So then my customers always know that they're getting sold the right thing. So I took away sale targets.
Yep.
Like in my stores with all my, and as we've gone through the last 4 or 5 years, we don't have sales targets as far as it comes down to selling products.
Yep.
What we run off is giving honest, transparent information about supplements that they need. So rather than in our staff meetings going through, what can you sell to get the best margin on this? We go through the ingredients in so much depth, and we get the different suppliers each month through to give us their spiels and their in-deep knowledge on their products and their ingredients, so that my staff members are knowledgeable in the fact, so that when a customer comes in, they tell them their wants and needs.
Yep.
They can facilitate that with the exact supplement they need that's going to get them to their goals faster, rather than going not listening to them all and just trying to sell them something to up their sales margin.
Yep.
So taking that away at first, you know, there's a lot of customers that, you know, that do shop with us that, you know, they'll resonate with this, that they get told, oh, we don't need this. And like, oh, hang on a minute. Oh, really? It's like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
We'll work with their diet. We'll work with their training. We'll help them out in that way.
Yeah.
Get their processes right. And then say, go get that right first, then come back. And then we can maybe add something in which is going to make those processes happen faster.
Yep.
So over the last couple of years in doing that, at the start it was a bit slow, but our customer retention is insane. And the environment that there is for our customers to come in, they're so happy to see us and they're so trusting. That's everything to me, hey.
And have you noticed with that need and what you're explaining there, how much time are you guys now spending on helping people with the guidance on training, even some healthy eating guidelines, that sort of thing? Do you need to spend much time on that with the person coming in?
Heaps. Yep. So much time. Obviously, if they're in a rush, they just want their supplements, they can come in and out.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're a person that hasn't bought supplements before,
yep.
The first thing we'll always say, and our customers will be able to confirm this, is what's your diet and training like?
Yeah.
What's your lifestyle like? What are your goals? What do you want from this? And we'll talk to them about as long as they need.
Yep.
As long as they need.
Yep.
There's no time limit. As long as they need until they feel like they have a plan. And then we'll talk about supplements on top of that.
Yeah.
It's I think, and that's something, again, with Best Body, even way back when I first bought it from Dave, having the best product for your body, that's where we really grew off. And having such a trusted, honest environment, that's what's allowed our bricks and mortar to grow what it is today.
Yeah, and I think it's important because you can go one way on it. You can think about that. All right, well, they shouldn't even need anything if they're not in a position to, like, if they haven't looked at their diet and training, but that's not actually the reality of it. Like, when people, it's like if you go buy a new pair of joggers, that might snowball the effect. Like, they've already made a mental connection that, hey, if I get a new protein, I'm going to be a healthier habit here. I'm going to start a healthier habit. And then that's going to trickle into them going to the gym. So there's really no one at any point, regardless on where they're at in their health, in their training habits, that still couldn't benefit from some symbolic product, regardless of the actual results of it.
Exactly. When they've spent the money on the product, of course, it's going to make them more motivated.
Yeah.
Spent the money on it. But it's just something we like to reinforce. And just, like, we want to make sure that they're getting the most out of their supplements. When they come in, we're sending them home with something. If there's other things that they can do to speed up their processes or get them towards their goals faster, we're going to hit them with that first, so that when they're in place and then they add supplementation on top, that's where they get the absolute maximum benefit out of the supplements they're selling. So when they come back in, they're like, oh, guys, this really, really worked for me. Because it gets to me when people come back in and say, look, this did nothing for me. Because the only reason we've suggested that product is because based on what we've established with the customer, what their wants and needs are, and then we've given them that product to get them towards that faster. So if it doesn't work, that's something that I'm like, okay, so now we've got to nut down why didn't it work? Or is it something that the product's not working for them, or is it something else they're doing that's not allowing that process to happen?
Yeah, and a big push and something you guys I saw that you're doing really well is now doing your scans as well. Have you noticed the improvement on people's results and adherence to programs now, having things that are more measurable?
Yeah, 100%. And that's why we spent so much on those body scanners. Like, they're very expensive machines. Like, there's a lot of body scanners in Australia at the moment which work off software programs, and that's why we had to go with InBody, which are medical grade machines. 99.9% accuracy between scans. You can literally put yourself, like, say, if you were to scan yourself as a 90-year-old female, you scanned yourself three times in a row, it would be within 0.1% accurate between those three scans.
And just explain what they are to people who wouldn't know what a body scan is.
So an in-body body scanner, it's a body scanner where you've got, I think it's 11 points of contact. And they use impedance to give you a very accurate reading of your muscle, your fat, and your water retention, not only how much there is, but where it's at. The biggest thing is, and what we see, is a lot of people come in, especially, look, we're talking about the weight loss journey. They'll come and say, that's the thing. They come and say, oh, I'm wanting to lose weight. But weight is so irrelevant, because we all know your body can fluctuate kilos of water a day. Your body, you've got your fat mass, you've got your skeletal muscle mass. They've all these variables which then make up your total body weight.
Yeah.
So when you go into a diet phase, that's some thought, no matter what it is, that's some sort of starvation, even if it's just that little bit of calorie deficit. And your body can sometimes go into this loop of wanting to hold a bit more water retention, and you may be losing your fat. So we find people go,
if they drop their sodium too low.
That's right, as well. And as when you're going into diet phase, normally eating less sodium-based food. So they'll come back and talk to us, and they're like, oh, geez, I'm heavier. I'm going to drop all my calories. I'm going to do all these crazy things. But we chuck them on the body scanner. They've lost fat. They've gained muscle.
Yeah.
But they're holding more water that day.
Yeah.
So they can see, you know, it just gives the clarity and eliminates those variables about what they're doing in their training.
Yep.
So if they're going the wrong direction, they can actually see and they can make adjustments. Or if they're going the right direction, they can relax. Even though their weight's a little bit higher, they're heading in that right direction. So keep going rather than be deterred.
And do you try to keep people away from the scales, or do you tell them to do some measurements in between the scans? What do you recommend to your people coming in?
I tell them to try not to worry about it at all. Just trust the processes. You've made an adjustment. It takes time and consistency. So just with anything that's diet or training, it's consistency.
Yep.
You know, so I try and say between that 2 to 4 weeks is ideal.
Yep.
And that's enough time for there to be a lot of change. But it's not too much time that if you are going the wrong direction, you know, you're not going to get too far in that wrong direction.
Yeah. I used to go the different way on it. I used to get people to weigh every day.
Oh, did you?
And they're like, they would be like, oh, but I don't like it. I'm like, no, you don't like when it's not right.
Yeah, and there's a thing like that.
Look, if you're moving in the right direction, you like the scale.
Yeah, but that is, and that's okay. If you're being really consistent with weighing yourself every day, you'll be able to see your fluctuations.
Exactly, and you'll understand your body.
Like, but I find a lot of, and you can tell people that, but they get so deterred when they put on that extra kilo or kilo and a half in a day. They do crazy things, no matter what you've told them as a PT, and I experience this as a PT as well. No matter what you tell them, they'll go and do these crazy things that you haven't told them to do.
Yeah, it can be definitely disheartening.
It can be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but
so in terms of what you're seeing at the moment with people coming in, is weight loss still the primary thing? Like, is that where it's at, fat loss?
I mean, like, we've got quite a diverse range of our customers.
Yep.
So leading into, depending on the time of year, as soon as we get one hot day in spring is when we just see such an influx of people that I'm being like, oh, geez, what have I done during winter?
Yeah.
So at the moment, there is a lot of people that are on the weight loss or fat loss, more per se, journey.
Yep. So what other things are they coming in for other than fat loss?
As the whole way around the store is – and this is a little bit off topic, sorry, but
no, this is good.
This is good. So the thing with our store and what we've tried to do is create an environment where it defeat the stigma of the supplement store.
Okay.
We're not bodybuilders sitting in there wearing our teabags.
Mm-hmm.
Although Jacob and I both competed, which is my manager, we have quite a bit of knowledge in that. But supplementation, it should be like, I think 95% of our customers aren't bodybuilders.
Yeah.
And we try to create this, you know, inviting environment where they can come in and so we can have that diverse range. We can, supplementation is meant for the general public to help them no matter what it is, because you think, oh, I can, like I was saying, a lot of my customers are just wanting to go on that fat loss journey.
Yeah.
And most of them are that 25 to, you know, 40 year old females wanting to lose a bit of body fat.
Yeah. I feel like they needed to segment the competing world better from the general public and make it less accessible at a higher level, or more identified of like people who are competing properly versus just something you could do, because that's where it gets gray in terms of people are entering into the competition world and then they're like mentally not capable of maintaining certain things, doing certain poor, I guess, choices for their body. And then they have all this negative kickback, and then they're pointing at the competing industry as the devil who did this to me, where really they just probably shouldn't have entered it in the first place. So what I mean by this is like, it's obvious if someone's an Olympic sprinter.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like, oh, I've just suddenly lost a few kilos and now I'm suddenly going to be an Olympic sprinter. Like, I don't feel like there should be like, and it's right that there is, but there shouldn't have needed to be a statement around, oh, we're not bodybuilders. It's like, oh, we know, because they're high level athletes.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So
I think I'm picking up what you're putting
down. Yeah. So yeah. I just feel like there needed to be a better segmentation or a harder entry point into the levels of bodybuilding.
Oh, 100%.
Versus just like, oh, suddenly, oh, like if I've ended a relationship, now I'm going to do a competition.
And that's something you see so much in the industry.
Yeah.
It's like girls will start to train and start to, you know, look really good. They've gone on the weight loss journey and they think that they have to compete.
Yeah. It's not the next step.
No.
Like, it's not the next step. And it's good that you made that connection, because it's not the next step to general health.
Yeah.
It might be an identifier if someone has identified some really high traits that are associated with it. Potentially they can maintain low body fat better, they recover from training really well, they can add muscle really well, they have nice full muscle bellies, they have good I guess separation, or how you just appear, that they go, hey, you might have really high potential on this, versus just this low dangling fruit of, hey, this is the next thing for me.
Yeah, now I've gotten down to this point, this is what I need to do. Don't get me wrong, like this is where I said, like, we're not a bodybuilding store, because we are at the same time. We do facilitate that, but we try to defeat that stigma of that's what you need to do to go to your next step in your fitness journey.
Yeah, there's so many other angles.
The thing is the reason I train, like I've competed before and just like yourself, the reason I train is to look good and feel good. For me, I do like looking good. Mm. Like I'm proud when I look good and I like showing off when I look good. It's not so much that I'm a show off, but I like, it makes me feel so much better about myself. Does it depict my happiness? No, it doesn't. But I train and I eat good food because I like how it makes me feel.
Yep.
And I like it the way it makes I look, which alternatively then does help with my headspace.
Yeah, and that's where I think...
That's what we preach.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's where potentially from social media, the world's collided a little bit, because ultimately the bodybuilding industry wasn't glorified at all. It was like antisocial, like with abstainment from food. Mm. And then it got glorified and it attracted a lot of, I guess, mindsets into it that potentially weren't capable of maintaining that level. And then they've tried to, I guess, really make it the devil.
And I've seen so many people go through a journey where they haven't trained ever before.
Mm.
They've got into their training, they started dieting, they look amazing. Then they've gone into the bodybuilding or physique or whatever it might be, and they've done unbelievably.
Yeah.
It's because they're driven. It's because something that they've heavily fallen in love with, but not just because it's the next step.
It's not the next step. And
I think that's something that...
It's true to them. The withstandment, the discipline, the really just focusing on their own progression, not thinking about how am I looking compared to these other people along the way. It's true to them, that nature.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. And then you can come away from it because I guess where I go with this thought is like, it's just so demonized. Like, it's like going to something that doesn't suit you and trying to blame it. Like going to Everest without any real training, nearly killing you and blaming the mountain.
Mm.
Like, it's not the right thing to do. But it's also they're not acknowledging. And when I say they, I mean just what you just hear people say about trying to demonize the industry is they're not talking about how they learned how to train in that process, how they learned how to watch their macros or count their calories, how they learned how to have better habits in general. Forget about all that. It's no more just like, I'm better now that I got rid of it and now I've taken nothing away from it and I'm better.
Now I've got to go do something else.
Yeah, I've got to do something else.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's an interesting point. So have you seen in your stores in the last few years the competition scene like be more attractive or like is it pulling away from it based on that demonization?
It's funny you say that. I think people are pulling... Because I've seen a lot of people go through it but then pull away from it. I think it's a stage. A lot of people do... There are so many people, like we just talked about, go through it, go to their competing, then realize, oh, hang on, this whole process of me losing this weight, of me learning to count calories, this is what I actually like. It's not so much I need to go to that next step. So
I don't think that
it has any gotten any better or any worse. We still the competing world is still much there, but I think a lot of it is, again, the wrong reasons.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, that I'm not against people trying things.
No, neither.
It's like enter into it with the right intention.
Yeah.
Of potentially testing yourself out or taking yourself to the next level. But if anything's driven by it, like perceived admiration, like and throwing yourself into that mix, and then the pressure of like you telling the world that you're going to do something, then so you have to do something and then just nearly kill yourself to do it.
And you don't want to do it.
You don't want to do it. Deep down, you're not really wanting to do it.
It's a massive lifestyle thing as well. Like people go and jump in and you're not even thinking about what you're doing for work.
Yeah.
What you've got going on in your life, your personal life. So I think all that needs to be relatively stable for you to actually have to go, to be able to go and do this.
Yeah.
You may want to. But if you don't have those other things which are set, it's so hard. Like my last competition that I did with Arnold's, it was with how busy Best Body was at the time, it was nearly impossible. Mm. And my work was drastically affected.
Yeah.
My staff members noticed.
Yeah.
And what really hurts me is like even a couple of my customers noticed. And that's something that, you know, I realized, you know, I liked to where I got my body to, but that's not something that, you know, with how I felt and what happened to people around me with how busy my lifestyle was, it's not something that was appropriate for the time.
Yeah, and that, I guess, goes into the coaching side of that industry as well. Like, there should be better gatekeepers in terms of preparing for it. Because
forget about your coach that helps you with your diet and training.
Yeah.
We need sports psychiatrists. You need people that you can go and talk to keep your head very well balanced. And that's something I think all athletes need to do.
Mm.
But because, you know, it's one of those sports where you've got to feel your worst to look your best.
Yep.
When you get to that point when you're deprived and, you know, you're pushing as hard as you can, you need the mental game is probably the most important thing, especially when you get right down. Because you know, out of all people, you get down to your last 3 weeks, you're not building anything. You're going through the motions.
Yeah. And
you're starving yourself, basically.
And that's where I go back to that. The entry level, like there should be some obvious like lower level where potentially the judging like...
And they've started to bring that in.
Yeah. And then it's almost not that. Like, so it's a thin line. I get it. Like, cause I saw one that was like ICN, they're doing like streetwear or something like that. Yeah. It's like, I get what you're trying to do, but it's not really it.
But then that kind of promotes what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Before,
the general
it?
Health. Yeah, it does, like, it's like, you're not doing either. Yeah. So they're trying to like pretty it up versus just go, hey, this is it. And going back to the, like, it's such a commitment for potentially, and not that everything's about winning, but it is good to do things somewhat well. But like, again, going back to the 100-meter sprinter analogy, like if you were spending 6 months of the year, maybe even longer, dedicating hours a day and you're training crazily and doing all this stuff and you ran 120 seconds, your friends would tell you you're a crazy person.
Mm.
They would go, hey, it's not for you.
Mm.
But in this industry, not so much, like because it's too hard to identify who's what and what the levels are.
Well, because there's no scorecards on it. It's based on impression.
Yeah. Or even in sporting level, there's like grade six, grade five, grade like, and then it's like, and it, whereas in this industry, there's really only like, you got amateur pro.
Yeah.
And there's nothing in between. Like you don't, your parameter for getting into going to the Arnold's on an amateur level is you have to compete.
Yeah.
Like it's not like, it's not like come top six, like, and reward the success of the people who are potentially suited for that. It's like, oh, open.
So I totally agree. There needs to be more levels.
Yeah.
A better template about how people can compete and what level they can compete at, especially on those professional levels.
Yeah.
Like Arnold's like, yeah, seriously, you need to be something special, or not so much something special, but you need to put in the work to get to this point.
Yeah, and you do. And that's where, I guess, if we're linking it back to the start of the conversation, where supplements can become dangerous to certain people that don't potentially haven't done the work, don't have the genetic potential, and they're trying to elevate themselves in a rapid period of time.
Yeah.
And that's not even like proper supplementation, like healthy, that's unnatural supplementation.
And that's
like,
where it becomes dangerous.
Like your PEDs. And
that's right.
And that's where it's really dangerous, obviously. So what's happening with your training at the moment? I know you've got a surgery coming up, but outside surgery, what have you been doing?
Honestly, mate, it's been, my training's taken a massive downturn, obviously. Like COVID hit pretty hard and I ended up just, I let my training go for a bit for once. I'm a man of consistency. Like I'm very routined. So like with my training, with my eating, and it was actually the first time in years that I actually let go of my training, eating a fair bit. One of the reasons was because my knee got to a point where I just couldn't do the stuff I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Towards the end of last year, for instance, I was doing air locker. You had Roman on here last week.
Yep.
I was doing air locker a couple of days a week, and it's really good cardio. You can get in there. You don't have to think about it. It's form under fatigue, so it's not just jumping around on a spot. Like it's good quality exercise. Getting to your anaerobic threshold, such a good like get in and get out sort of business. And that was getting me lean nice and quick. And then I also was doing about 3 or 4 days in the gym just because, again, to look good and feel good. So that hybrid between the two training, that is the way I like to train.
Yep.
I like doing my cardio. I don't have to think about it. And it's in and out. And then my weight training just a couple of days a week. So I'm not like, I'm over the days of sitting there for an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd rather go in, get a really good half hour to 45 minutes of one muscle group. So I'm still, you know, building muscle and, you know, I'm building to my physique, which again, like I said, I like to build my physique and look good. But it's that dead hybrid between the both.
And nutritionally, how do you manipulate that in terms of adding muscle, burning body fat? What do you look at?
And again, that just depends on where I'm at. So like if it was before COVID times, because like I wanted to take a break. For the last 3 or 4 years, I've stayed pretty much sub 8% body fat
yep.
year round. And I took a break and it was good. I could focus more on work and without having to put as much time in. But then I found that's what I like to do and it makes me feel better anyway.
Yeah.
All I do is it's all calories in versus calories out.
Yep.
When I say that loosely because I still like to get most of my calories from low calorie foods and whole foods.
Mm-hmm.
And for the more so the reason because it makes me feel good, but also because I can eat so much more of it and stay below my calories.
Yep.
Now, if you go on eating a pizza a night, well, you're probably only able to have one or two more meals that day. Well, if I'm eating my potato, sweet potato, rice, my pumpkin, or my lean meat sources, or
yep.
those low calorie foods, which our body likes to have, I can eat so much more of it and get that feeling of satiety. And yep. it makes it easier for me to get leaner. So even though I took this break during COVID and, you know, because I want to just let go of my dieting for once and, you know, lessen my training for once, just get out of this routine. I felt so much worse.
Yep.
I felt so much worse. And I didn't like when I would have the bad foods or whatnot, or even so much like my bad foods, but those little things that I'd enjoy for time to time just didn't become a thing.
Yeah. And I think that's an easy thing to do where people are trying to find this life balance and it can definitely be a trap because they move away from what their strength is. And I feel personally, definitely, and even people that I've like spent time with, you should ultimately turn your strength up. If you're a strength, just say if you're looking at all the areas of your life and just say your health and fitness is an 8, should turn it up to a 10. And then it will by nature drag everything up with it. Like when you're training harder, eating better, looking better, feeling better.
Totally agree.
Everything gets sucked up with
it. Does.
But unfortunately what happens is that we look away from our strength, let that come from an 8 to a 6, and then thinking that your work will come from like a 6 to a 9, but it may initially because just based on the work you put into it.
Putting more time to it. But yeah, it's a trickle-on effect, it is.
But then eventually everything just comes down and then you're a 6 all over.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I did notice that massively.
Yep.
Like, you know, the time needed to be put into best body, especially during the start of COVID, especially all that, the content needs. But I did find when I started feeling that bit worse, I just wasn't as – you're not as motivated.
Mm.
You don't feel as good about yourself, and I lost a lot of confidence.
Yeah, especially if your driver is a lot around, like, not saying all, but appearance and feeling good, looking good, and also combining that with creating content, like you want to be putting that image out there, I'm sure, into
that's
that
right
market.
Yeah, so yeah, as for now though, I mean, back to our original question, just trying to be just consistent again. Like, I'm obviously getting knee surgery done tomorrow, but you know, I'll be going into the gym 6 days a week, my half hour, 45 minutes.
Yep.
Just basic bodybuilding training for now.
And what's the rehab process with the knee?
It's a long process.
Yep.
Because this one's my third one. And the surgery I'm getting, so I got surgery 4 weeks ago because without going too far into what happened with my leg again, my last surgery was done bodily. And this has been the hard thing for my head, because I kept going back to my doctor saying, mate, like, it doesn't feel right. And this back to where I'm wanting to get back to my water skiing as well. So it's really head nicking me that I can see some of the other guys in this water skiing industry that I used to be in having these knee reconstructions going back within a year. And I can't do that. And him just saying to me, that's what I've got to live with. So I actually ended up going back for another surgery with that same surgeon.
Yep.
Because he refused to admit the problem, and which I'll explain in a minute. And I had some meniscus taken out, which is like it is responsible for a lot of the cushioning of your knee joint, which is going to stop a lot of problems. So he took a bit of that out and did another part of the surgery to make my knee more stable. Still didn't work. So I went back to the best hand in Australia, Leo Pincheski, his name is, and from Sydney. And he looks at me and goes, mate, they've put the graft in the wrong spot.
Oh no.
And I'm just like, I was like, are you joking? So the last 5 years I've been trying to come to terms with, this is what I have to live with for the rest of my life.
Yep.
And so I was just saying to you when I walked in here, it's almost a bittersweet feeling at the moment, because I have to go through all this process again, and it's such a pain in the ass. But I feel like for once I'm actually in the process of getting better finally, and I can see things like, mate, I haven't been out of water ski, and I'm not going to go back to the level I used to, but I can't go and do the things I love. I can't surf, I can't skydive. These are all things that make me, for people that do know me, I need adrenaline and I love my sports. And for me not to be able to do anything, even just go out for a surf or even run stairs, it's really hard on my head. So the process is going to be a lot longer because of these surgeries.
Yep.
So I went in 4 months ago to get the old hardware taken out. My knee has now recovered and I'm going in for another reconstruction, but because I'm using a donor graft, and that's the reason I went with Leo. He's been in the industry for such a long period of time. He has access to very good donor grafts, which is a whole other conversation.
Yep.
But because it is donor, it takes a bit longer for your body to take. There is a percentage that your body won't take it, but
yeah. What's the rejection percentage? Did they say?
I'm pretty sure it was about 3%.
Yep. Okay.
So it is pretty low. Because they used to be chemical treated, but now they're flash frozen.
Yep.
In his latest study, and it was really interesting talking to him. I was meant to go to the States to get this done. I remember telling you that before COVID, I actually had a trip booked to go and see one of the best hands in the world. He's actually who reattached Callum von Moger's quad.
Yep, okay.
Really, really reputable. And his description is a complex surgeon. So he'll come up with different procedures based on their needs. I was ready to spend anything, but the reason I chose Leo, this guy in Australia, is in Australia, they've got a lot of confidentiality reasons, especially with grafts. So normally with allografts, which is your donor grafts, you won't actually be able to see the age of the graft or the gender. And, you know, he asked, okay, if I do a research, will you enable me to find these things out just for the research purposes? And they did. And in his findings, they showed that if it was a graft that was from a 35 to 40-year-old onwards, the chance of re-rupturing is about 50%. And if it was a female graft over the age of 45, it was a re-rupture rate of about 80%.
Mm.
So with that being put forward, now he actually has the option to put the exact right graft of the right age and the right gender.
Awesome.
In your body. So obviously super stoked about it, and a lot more confident leading into this surgery. Obviously, I've got a few trust issues after.
Yeah, of course.
Going in. Like, there's just my one tip. If you ever have an injury, just shop around. Like, really, really shop around, because being a young guy, I was just like, I just want to get back on the water.
Yep.
Like, you know, I want to get back to what I love doing rather than taking the time to, you know that this could actually really affect my life.
Yeah, and I think that goes hand in hand with most specialities. Like, it's like, whether you're going to an endocrinologist, and we've spoken about that, or like if you're going to a psychologist, or people do like, or a surgeon, they're going to like one person, and for whatever reason, like, they just trust that is the right person for them. Wherein it's just like, it doesn't matter on what level or what job, what industry, people are people, and there's going to be some crap ones. there's going to be some people who have gone the extra, the work above anything beyond their training and have a true passion for it and have sought out new problems to solve for their clients way beyond what the industry standard is. But yeah, that's great advice.
It's so hard, mate, because you want to try, you go to your GP or you go to someone, they go, oh, look, I recommend this guy, he's really good. And you could just go off that because obviously they're an industry professional.
Yeah.
But they could just be their mate.
Yeah.
And that's why, and later did I find out that the guy I got my knee done, he wasn't an athlete knee surgeon.
Yeah, that's a difference. Working with athletes, it's like getting people to performance is so much different to working with people in general.
And being older and more mature now, and obviously being through business, I know what it's like to ask around and get different opinions, get different quotes, for instance.
Yeah.
So if I could go back, of course I'd change it. But I'm not mad about what happened because, it got me the best body. And look at us here talking about what's going on today.
That's awesome, mate. Well, that's us for today. But I appreciate you coming in. So people, if you want to learn more about you, personal, best bodies, what are we looking for online?
Elaborate.
So in terms of finding you online,
yep.
Handles?
Please, find us on Instagram at Best Body Supplements or myself, Tim Bradstreet.
Yep.
It's both the same for Facebook and Instagram. Find us online at Best Body Supplements for our online store at www.bestbodysupplements.com.au.
Yep. And your stores in Newcastle, where are they?
It is. So I've got one at Warners Bay and one out in the Junction Fair in Newcastle.
Yep.
And both those two stores just for now.
Yeah, some new things in the water potentially.
Maybe, mate. All
right. Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate you coming in.
No dramas. Thanks, mate.
Thanks for joining us on the Brendan Osborne podcast.